Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Miller, how's it going?
Doing okay. Just trying to get caught up a little bit.
Hey, Jason.
Welcome back, Jason. Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Hey.
What was the holiday? Sorry, I didn't pay attention to the calendar.
It was Victoria Day.
Oh. Is there like picnics and stuff? Like, what do you do on that day?
I don't even know the history as to why Queen Victoria in particular has a holiday and no other monarch. But the end result is it's the May long weekend. People go camping and stuff. Just like yay
Oh.
spring. I guess, I don't know.
Did you go camping?
No, I'm going camping next month.
Okay.
Because I'm going out west to visit my brother and my parents and whoever else happens to show up, and also go to my cousin's wedding. But the main thing is he likes doing a lot of stuff outdoors in the mountains, and so he's a good person to go camping with.
Now, your brother's a pretty significant drive from you, right?
That would take about 3 days to drive to.
Oh, dang. I guess you're flying then.
Yeah. Not walking.
We drove from Virginia to the Boston area to visit some friends who are living on an Air Force base up there, and that was a good 8, 9 hour drive. Did not relish it. I can only imagine the distances that you had to cover.
You drove up to Boston just for like a day and a half?
No. Sorry, this was back when it was we
Oh.
stayed for about no, this is back around spring break area time. So.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a second. Like, I got distracted there.
No, that's fine. No, that's about the upper limit of the road trip that I'm willing to do, and even then I'm loathing it,
Okay, I think that Jakob is joining from the road, so I'm gonna share my screen. And I'm just trying to see who else is here. Okay, Adam, not here. Charles, this batch creation of staff user accounts for Trove. Ian, this morning I finished gathering all of the group four user information. But I was wondering where we're at with the group four tenants generally. I know that there was some there's some like funky settings and stuff for some of the tenants, but I wasn't sure if they were all ended up getting created or not.
They've not all been created. I created all but two on test, but I'm having trouble getting Model S not to fall over. So I'm trying to think of what I'm going to do for production.
Why don't we just hop down to you generally then? So is there anything that we should consider here with the group?
Well, I mean, right now it's I can't get them all to run at the same time without breaking Model S. So I gotta think of a solution to make them all work. Otherwise, they're not gonna be ready by the end of the
Is this the Kafka situation then, or something
Yeah.
else?
Yep.
The branch didn't help.
Well, I deployed it on dev,
There are some
and
issues, right? You saw the ticket that I created. No, I've just got in and I've joined the meeting. I didn't Look into any
No,
security.
not you, Jason. Ian, I think you saw the ticket, right? That I assigned to you.
No, what was that from? Just this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't. I'm also just getting in, but is there like a solution that I might be able to do here? I mean, the other thought I had was I could just apply.
First, let's confirm that this is Kafka doing this and that there is no other regression.
Okay.
Because you know the modernism dev is master, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what we know right now with Mallory is that this local supply state is broken.
Okay. I mean, do you
So
want me to turn Kafka back on and you can just test again?
well, yeah, I left you steps to reproduce, so I will ask you to try it. Or just ping Mallory and do it together.
Okay.
But maybe I'm just thinking, maybe before you turn Kafka off,
It's
why
on.
don't you scale it down to one replica and test that? I'm just wondering if that's gonna
Sure. Yeah, that
fix.
might do it if I understand what's going on. We're writing to Grails event queue or topic. What is it called? Grails event bus. So you know if
Very
that's.
strange what happens. It must be because it's working 99% of cases. We've managed to pull, you know, go through like a just regular supply request that works, but with the local supply, it doesn't. And I just remembered that we had to use some sort of hacks to make that local supply work. Like there
Okay.
is a state transition, let's say. Like the patron request is marked dirty explicitly to make sure that those events fire. Maybe that's what's messing it up. So let's maybe actually try with one replica, see if that
Okay.
fixes the
Sure.
problem.
Yeah, so I wonder after
Because maybe
this
that gives you
meeting.
something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I just want to say a few things. So I wonder maybe after this meeting we can test that together. Because if it will work without Kafka, that would be great. And I could push that all the way up and deploy it for everyone. But if it doesn't, I guess the fallback plan is going to have to be to create. I'll modify the module descriptor to give it a different ID and deploy to. Two different deployments of ModRS with two different Kafkas and put, you know, the remaining tenants on the new one, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get rid of Kafka, but probably not for this release.
Okay.
So
So
for now,
I'll have to do something like that to get these tenants out
yeah,
today.
exactly. But try it
Okay.
with this one replica because maybe you could scale it in production as well, and then if it works, then it's fine. There is a very weird behavior, but look at the ticket. I left all the details on the ticket. There is
Okay,
like an
yeah.
error coming back from ModRS. So maybe we're hitting another replica that has a different state. You know where that
Yes.
message comes back or something
Yeah.
like that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can scale it to one. You know, maybe that would work in production if there's no Kafka. I don't know if we need two replicas. If the memory I mean, part of the problem is it's getting OOM killed. When
Yeah.
I'm enabling all these tenants, you know, another thing I was thinking about, maybe this is, you know, why Kafka is so much trouble in large folio environments, but you know, it's what it's doing is creating a topic for every tenant. But I think maybe a more on the rails use of Kafka would be to have a topic and put everything through there and then separate it by, you know, marking which message is which I realize, you know, maybe hurts the data separation between tenants, but also I don't think that this is a proper use of Kafka is to have like thousands of topics for, you know, all these different tenants. That something that would be willing to look into or not really worth it since we're just trying to get rid of it altogether?
Don't we also get bills for the topics? I seem to recall that being an issue in the past, that that's one of the metrics they charge us by.
Oh, in this case, I'm just running Kafka myself
Oh,
as a chart. John uses MSK for MetaDB, and that is a restriction there, the amount of topics. And I think that's probably a similar reason, right? It's because that's what starts taking up resources is having a crap ton of co topics. That's probably why they bill on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just getting in really, but I'm trying to think of what the plan is going to be for today in order to get all these tenants out. But it sounds like it's just going to be to deploy another Kafka cluster in another instance of ModRS that will point to that one and split up the tenants who's using which ModRS, I guess.
So if we confirm this is Kafka, I'm sorry, Ian, I'm not seeing the board. But if we confirm that this is indeed Kafka,
Yeah.
or this replica, scaled down replica, Jason, maybe you could try to see if there's anything you can do about this. I don't know if you have anything else sort of on the board for now.
No, I can dig into that further and see what I can
Yeah.
see. Like, I'm not even sure if this Grails bus would be shared between the replicas or not.
I'm assuming no, right? Unless there's some mechanism by which they are clustering, right?
And
Yeah,
at which point, if
that's a good
it's not
point.
being shared between them, then I don't see how they would affect each other.
Well, I guess if one of them is writing to its own
Well,
memory,
is it
one
it's
can't
the
see
same
it.
database, right? Is
What's that?
it the same database?
It's
Between
the
the
same
replicas?
database. That's
It would be,
correct.
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, with a very simple module, if it was just, making a call to the database, acquiring a lock, making a call to the database, and then a request came into the other one, it would, be fine. But if it's storing something in memory, and then a request comes to the other replica and is expected to read something off of what's stored in the other one's memory, then it won't work, right?
Yeah, I struggle to see where it would do that.
Well, if I look at the, I mean, I don't know. I'm out of my depth here in terms of development and stuff like that. But if I look at the pull request, isn't it going to, it says, if you've got Kafka turned off, then in that case, we're going to use Grails Events Publisher.
Yeah, and that's not that I know anything about how that works. It's just
Right.
that I looked at the other end, the thing that's receiving the events from Kafka, and when it's one of the patron request events instead of one of the directory events, that's what it does. It immediately calls that publish. And the entire system, the way it reacts to all those events is over the Grails event bus.
Oh, okay. So that's not new. That's what it was already doing.
Right. It was already getting them all from the Grails bus. It's just that it was putting it onto Kafka first, taking it off Kafka, and then putting it onto the Grails bus.
Right, okay. So, I mean,
Potentially with the idea that it could load balance between replicas
right.
or
So
something.
what we're finding out, I guess, is probably that it won't. Let me just turn it down to one replica now, and while we're talking, we can try that. Yeah, but I'm gonna have to come up with something, I guess.
I'm sorry, Ian, that doesn't sound like fun, but if you need help testing this or anything else, please let me know. And it sounds like Jason might be available to help if there's something to look into as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, if we're gonna meet this deadline, I gotta do something. And that something I think is just gonna be to throw more resources at it because we need it to work right now. Yeah.
So would we have to leave those resources up for the whole week, or would they be amenable to shifting things around, like maintenance window wise, sometime else?
Well, we will. So we're deploying group four today, and then ideally we will be pushing changes up to their production environment on Thursday. So assuming that they approve everything.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we could do at the same time, like whatever adjustment we need for this.
And so it sounds like Jakob, you mentioned the local supply thing was like a recent and somehow hacky adaptation for Trove. Is it possible that that's a red herring, that it's associated even with turning off Kafka and it has
No, it
its
is
own?
Kafka
Okay.
because we have tested on staging and that works. But I think if we can do this better with the local supply and avoid that issue, that's great. But my fear is that it's broken in other ways, which we simply
Yeah.
haven't discovered yet.
I turned it on to one replica on dev if that's something that we want to test.
Can you take it first in, Ian, like using those repro steps? Or maybe Mallory, you could just check now. Let's just see if that helps.
All right, so she's in requires review, locally available. Earlier, when we were marking this cannot supply, it was just staying in this state, which looks like maybe there's a different problem then. Let me try one with another supplier just to make sure. So it looks like it says successfully responds cannot supply, but this should either go to request sent or to end of rota if there wasn't another supplier and both of them are that I just submitted are hanging out in the same state.
Yeah, but
So.
that's different behavior now. I think. Hold on. Yes.
Wait, I thought that was the same as. The request should go into requires a review locally available. That's what it did. And then I clicked cannot supply. But instead of
And.
going to request sent, it's staying in requires review.
Okay, no, so it's the same problem.
Yeah.
So it stays in the same state, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it did not help. Okay. So it's not that problem. Okay. Well, let's enable Kafka and Delmodo-RAS. Let's switch that environment variable and do another test just to confirm.
Okay, I'll do that
And
now.
if that works, then the unfortunate conclusion is that we need to have Kafka enabled at least for now. Jason can try to fight with this a little bit, but
Yeah,
I would
I'm
say we
gonna
should aim
tr
for next week.
it's nice that we can reproduce it. Like, it doesn't seem like that's related to there being a whole bunch of like you turned off the replica even, and it's not like a bunch of load or whatever. So I can try this locally, and I can work with Mallory and try to go through the exact same steps for reproduction and see if I can both have it fail in the same way with Kafka locally off, and then have it work with Kafka on, at which point I've actually got something I can work with in terms of, okay, let's get to the bottom of what's happening.
Waiting for
So you're
the.
go ahead, Ian, sorry.
I'm just waiting for the one with Kafka to come back up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let me just see if it's ready. Okay. No, it's still starting up. Takes a long time. There it goes. Okay. Wait, no. Oh. Okay. think we're ready to roll if you want to try it again and see if that error goes away. Oh, just crashed.
I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but
Unknown service requested. Rollback exception. All right, so something is not working here. In the log. Have to configure something.
Exception overridden by rollback exception.
Is it responding to you now? I mean, just Kubernetes just re you know it crashed and Kubernetes spun up a new thing, but I don't, you know.
Yep, that looks better. Let me just
Okay, I see a bunch of stuff going through logs.
And then let's see if this this went to request sent now and pushed to the next supplier in the rota, which is
It
what we
worked.
expect. Yeah.
It's throwing some wobblies in the log, but I guess those are okay. Exception reading an ISO message, bunch of. Maybe that's always there or something, I don't know. But if it's working now, then that's interesting. Is it working?
Well, it didn't fix the ones that were already in there. I
Right,
thought it
right.
might, but let me throw one in as a copy just to make sure we're happy and
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in the log here, but I guess maybe that's for those old broken ones or something. Things like this.
so yeah, that went into rota, which makes sense because I only put one supplier in. So I think that looks right, Ian.
Okay,
I
so it
can
does work when we turn Kafka back on, is what we're finding out.
yeah.
Okay, all right. So it sounds like the really the only move for today is to deploy another version of Kafka and another version of ModRS and split up the usage to try to make sure it doesn't fall over and get OOM killed. And I guess I have one question about that, and I don't know if anyone's even very aware of this, but you know how ModRS creates a table for itself in the database? Called ModRS system or whatever. Is anyone aware of that?
Not ringing bells.
Okay. Well,
I
I
guess
mean, I guess
it's
my
going to be a
concern
thing
is
one
that
day.
if I've got two instances running, they're both going to be messing around with that table, but I guess we'll try that on dev first, or maybe even push it up or test. I don't know. Figure something
Well,
out.
you've been doing this same deployment pattern with the replicas for a while now, and that's sort of worked, right?
Well, the thing that I'm going to do is not adding a replica, but creating another deployment. So the idea is to I need to cut down the amount of Kafka topics that ModRS is dealing with because that's what's killing it. So I need to have not another replica, but another instance that has different configuration and points to a different Kafka instance. So it's different than a
But
replica.
it could also have a different database then at that point. It can just be kind of sharded with different tenants. No?
Yeah, I mean it can't on the same instance. It can't. So I'd have to add another Postgres instance, which I don't want to do, but because the roles will collide, if you have two, if you deploy two of the same module on this, But maybe that's fine, actually. How I don't want to deploy another Postgres instance. I think that's getting. I mean, I guess if I have to, but if I would do that, I would. I what I would probably do is just separate everything, and not just have like a weird Postgres instance for Moderes for some tenants.
And could you reassign that ticket to JSON? I mean, JSON, yeah, it's maybe you can try to, play with this a little bit. At
Yeah,
least
it
there's
sounds
a
like something that I should be able to reproduce, so.
there's a reproducer. You can scan those. I mean, you'll see yourself in the code, but like that workaround that I was referring to is mainly, it's not really a workaround, but we had trouble kind of kicking off an event handler, so we had to, mark the patron request object, like mark it dirty, at some point, so that when it gets saved in the database, it kicks off another state transition. I don't know if it's related or not, but you'll see there was like a one line change from Yannis at some point to make it happen.
Wow. Okay. So the problem thing is this definitely won't be something I can fix today, in that I presumably will need to get the broker and stuff running in my dev environment.
Maybe, although what I've noticed in the broker logs, so you'll see it in books like that, it actually breaks when I isolate the 666 messages sent to it. So like the reason why it stays in that state is that it sends an unfilled message, at which point the broker sends it another expect to supply message, to kind of move it further down the rota, or an unfilled message if it's end of rota. And that's at that point the broker gets an error, ISO 18626 error message from Moderes. Like the something is, like it doesn't find a transaction or something. You can see in the broker logs. But
Yeah,
you
but
could
like
just
in order to
carry,
reproduce it, I'll need the broker.
or you can just curl to post the message, I think. That should also do it. We can also look because Giannis is pushed today. I will need to run, guys. Yes, I can hear you. He's pushed a change to add the broker to the integration test.
Okay, well, it sounds like given our deadline, I'm not gonna, deploy something that we don't really even know quite how it works. So I'm gonna try to see what if I can figure out running two separate Kafka clusters and two separate Moderes. What's the, we're kind of up against it. What happens if we don't make the deadline? Is that the end of the world, or what's can we say we've got these first group and then we're trying to get you the second one, or is it, pull out all the stops to get this 125 up today?
I think that it would be problematic if we didn't get them all. Just because they've had so many like communications to their partners telling them that this was their day and that they would get all the instructions. I mean, if it's if we can't, then we just got to tell them that. But I think if we can make it happen, that would be highly desirable.
Okay.
I'm sorry if that is that case. If there's anything I can do to help with your when you try things out, please let me know. And yeah. Ian, I want to ask you if we could close this ticket just because you've been able to add the templates and we've been adding the policies manually. And I didn't know if you want to keep it open for your notes to yourself or if we should just get this out of
Yeah, I mean,
here.
if that's good enough, we can just close it. I was
Okay.
trying to figure out how to automatically add all that stuff, but it's like it's kind of complicated per tenant how you would do that. So there's a lot of scripting that would need to happen.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I think, we just have this last group to go.
Yeah,
So
okay.
we'll just keep doing it the same way. Thank you. Okay. So I guess we know what you're up to, Ian. If you have anything else or no? Or do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else that I care about right now other than trying to get these tenants going. I mean, if there's anything that I need to be doing and I'm not, let me know.
Okay, thank you. Right, Giannis isn't here. Jason, I know you're just back from the long weekend. Do you have any questions, updates, etc.?
Well, the other stuff I was working on was taking a look at the reporting package and what we can do to bring in some directory information to augment the pull slips. And I kind of explained that in some detail on Slack. I don't know if I need to go over it here. Unfortunately, the end result is that in order to add extra stuff, I basically have to also provide the data from the patron request, and I have to combine it all by implementing this interface that they offer for a generic data source for a report. And that just has it call two methods of get the record and then get the next record, or something like that. And so it's very flexible and we should be able to do whatever, but at the same time, it's going to take some implementation. And also means we have to make some decisions about how we want to have that work. Do we just, every time it gets the next record, make an HTTP request to the mock directory and get the directory information for that record? Or do we try to just request the directory information for all records? Or do we try to get the list of symbols that are going to be used for both requester and supplier and then try to request that list? What would be the upper limit of the number of symbols that the directory could accept in the request? That kind of question. So it's going to be a big project.
Jason, what kind of fields do we need for the pull slip?
I have no idea.
I added this, the most critical thing, and they just emailed me about it, is the address information, where they're actually shipping the item. Because they don't have a reliable directory and outside of this system anyway. And so they with 300 plus libraries, they just really want the address, the both addresses on the pull slip for sending and returning the item.
Maybe we should. So that's kind of related, Mallory, to what we're discussing with Exlibris. Can we confirm that it's possible to get it from the message, the shipping address? in research, I mean.
So, like in the
Because that's the full slip on the supplier side, right?
yeah, I, well, I, yeah, both sides, I suppose, but like you want to know if it was included in here in the ISO message?
Yes, because otherwise we have exactly the same issue that we need to have all entries in every node.
Whereas this way, you could actually just store it on the patron request.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the project you're talking about just scares the shit out of me, and let's
Me
just
too. I
avoid
don't want to
this.
do it.
Yeah, let's not do it. Let's add all the fields we need to the patron request directly. Like we have the symbols already there. So if all we like the other thing we need is the address, let's just add it there.
The unfortunate thing is the way they've chosen to store addresses is across a table of address lines. So the data structure will have to be changed along the way. But maybe not, maybe it just
You
shows up as an array of them.
mean, yeah. Well, let's talk about that separately. The question is, though, how do you access the shipping address on the supplier? You know, we have a sort of similar conversation with Alma because they don't actually respect the address that is sent, the request of delivery address. The question is if Richard does. I sort of assume that it does, but it maybe doesn't.
I wouldn't be surprised if Resure just ignores it and uses the directory because it assumes it has a directory, so it's just doing everything based on the symbol.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, maybe you could check that JSON.
Okay. Yeah, I would rather do that change for sure.
Okay, so create a ticket to actually like pull in the full address here into the requested delivery info.
And then I guess the supplier might have to get it from the directory, but at that point it's making a request to the directory for that one symbol. Although that would be its own symbol, right?
Exactly. And also, so the way I would imagine this would work is that on the supplier, you pull it from its own symbol, and then you put it in the requested delivery address in the message so that the requester, sorry, the other way around, of course. But basically, you put it in the requested delivery info when you send the request so that the supplier knows where to send it. So it
And then
doesn't
how
need
does
to.
the go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so but when the requesting library returns it to the supplier, like where do they get that address from?
Yeah, that's where they need to look up using their own symbol. So that lookup needs to happen on the requester, but only through their own symbol. That we
Okay, Jason, I'll work on a ticket for that and we can sync up about doing that instead of the Jasper separate thing.
So yeah, I'm not here much longer, right? Like I'm here till May 30th.
Okay, Jason, I mean, just let's get the ticket and you start working on it. And then we get somebody else pick it up if you're, when you're gone,
Okay.
if you don't finish.
Okay.
Yeah,
First,
I
I
think
should.
you, yeah. I mean, let's do it the simpler way, the simplest way, and that's probably the simplest, right? I mean, unless you have different
Yeah, and
nightmares.
it also is better because it works better with Alma.
And we already do this kind of, right? I mean, we do this lookup. We actually do it in the UI to pull the pickup locations for its own symbol, right? So that will be simple.
But so either way, I need my local development environment set up with a broker. So that might be the first step to get that going in order to test the Kafka thing anyways, which I have to do first.
Kurt, did you set up the broker in your local environment? Like, is there any useful things to share, or is that pretty straightforward?
I mean, I've never run the broker locally, but now that we have it integrated with the integration test, then presumably we can start writing integration tests that incorporate the broker.
Yeah, but in this case, I want to run just that specific little workflow there with the local supply.
I mean, I
Now,
don't know.
without running the whole giant test of the rest of the stuff.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be hard just to spin up the broker with the Docker image.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I'm intending to do is spin up the broker because it's already Dockerized if we're running it with that Docker compose for the test. For the for the integration test. So like at that point I should be able to add it to my local Kubernetes. It's just I haven't messed with that in a while, so it's going to take me a sec, but I think that's worth doing because then I have a way to do a Trove-esque environment and then I can share that stuff with you as well. So that'll be worth doing, I think.
You can also, I think that's easy. You can get it up and running with one Docker commands. It's like 15 minutes, but if for whatever
You're really
reason,
hard to hear, man. You're
yeah.
like breaking up.
If for whatever reason that is a problem, then just use the broker command after that.
Good point. So where do I configure where the broker is? Or I can work with Kurt because he knows all this. Okay, I think I can get what I need from Kurt and Mallory.
Yeah, I'll be glad to
Okay.
as much as I can. Hopefully, if I can figure it out.
Between the three of us, we can do anything, probably.
I like that attitude.
So, okay, the Pulselet thing and the Kafka thing are most of what I was working on, but there is this little tiny thing off to the side where we wanted to have a upload limit for Mod DMS displayed in the UI. And I built that on Friday, but I haven't like bundled it up into a Git commit and kind of finished it off because it was Friday. And so I like to do that not at the end of the week.
The upload limit is like a setting that will be enforced, or what's going on with that?
No. So that is something that you do in Nginx because Mod DMS doesn't do that stuff because.
Right, so how does the thing know what to display?
Right. So there is a thing like the little bit of UIRS configuration for the bundle that I've just added another thing in the reshare section there
Well, you
for
manually say just like it's just a
like
number that gets displayed that's manually.
yeah, max DMS size. Well, it's not, it's specifically a number of megabytes because it's going to pass that in to the component that's used. Like it has a way of enforcing a max size on the UI side, so it won't even try to send the request if it's too big.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I was gonna
So
say,
it's
I don't think we're really constraining it. We're just, on the internet side that much, so.
well, if you want to, you can, but like they want to, and so this will prevent them from uploading it through the thing. And it will display that number. And as mentioned on the ticket, because this is a max and there's that usual ambiguity between a binary megabyte and a metric megabyte, that since the binary one is a little larger, I figure go with that one so that nobody is surprised in terms of the max.
We might use Imperial megabytes in Australia, I'm not sure.
Ah.
Ah,
Oh, man.
Australia. Okay, thank you, Jason. They'll be happy about that. They, yeah,
So is it
just.
worth taking a second right now to actually wrap that up and commit it so that it's there? Or because it, yeah, I'm not going to solve any of the other stuff today anyway, so.
I mean, it sounded like you were basically ready to
Yeah,
do
I'm
that.
done.
So if
Yeah,
it's
it's
quick,
literally like 10 minutes or something.
yeah, I would just finish it and we can
Okay.
call that good, include it tomorrow or whatever day the upgrade is. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And Kurt, how are things going?
They're fine. So I have this I made the tweak to disable the editing of the email address that should be deployed after the meeting. And then the stuff with the locations, I should be able to finish pretty quick this morning. I was wondering, since we have the broker now part of the ModRS integration test, Jakob, should I go ahead and start working to get the main flow integration test working in the broker as well to see if I can decouple those from the current way they work and see if I can get it to work across both deployments.
Jakob, are you still with us?
Yes, but I'm about to run. Was there a question for me?
Yeah, I was just wondering that should I go ahead and start looking to generalize the current integration test so they can run both in broker mode and non-broker mode?
Well, unless there's anything else that's more pressing. I don't know, Mallory, is there anything that Kurt should be looking at, like some unassigned stuff? Because generally, yes, I think we should get those integration tests, use the broker, but I don't know if there's anything critical.
I don't think like there's they have some like other like fiddly like request form changes that they want, but like I don't think it's more pressing than that. I might have a question regarding the scan, the barcode scan of the request ID. I don't know if we're gonna have to change the prefix to all capitals to make or all uppercase letters to make that work. But I'm gonna do some testing on that. So I'll reach out to Kurt or and or Ian. I'm not sure who would if like what would the outcome of that be. So that's the only thing
If
that I think. Yeah, go
the
ahead.
scanner's reading it in lowercase, like it's trivial to have the UI send it always to uppercase or whatever, like that's fine.
All right, I'll link up with you about that. I'm still trying to figure out exactly because I can't reproduce it. I don't have a barcode scanner, but I just want to make sure I understand what they want or need. So I'll message you. But no, anyway, the whole point of this is Kurt, I think that's fine to move to that other thing.
So Mallory, just to kind of sum up, right? The most important things are getting that pull slip working, and getting rid of Kafka so that Ian can run it without Kafka and avoid all the cost. Is that correct?
That sounds right to me, yes.
Okay. Because if that's really the two most pressing things, then I don't think maybe we should have Jason working on both of them.
Yeah, there we go.
So maybe Jason, you focus on the pull slip and Kurt could take over the local supply issue, because he's been close, maybe closer to that code a bit.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so I'm sorry guys for confusion. So if we could reassign that ticket that was assigned previously to Ian and to Kurt.
Oh wait, this is the wrong one. Sorry. Let me go back. Where is this? Okay, here. Kafka, Kafka.
Can we though
And
go
current
ahead and sorry, what are you saying, Jakob?
Just have a look at that pull request that Giannis opens, right? Adding the broker to the integration test. Maybe that's going to be useful for you to debug this.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Otherwise, yeah, just yeah.
Are we waiting on something before we merge that pull request, or did you just want like a more review on it?
No, I'm good. Like, if you're good with it, then just go ahead and merge it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look it over then. And can we make an issue though for generalizing the integration test to run on the Trove environment too, on the broker environment, just so we don't forget about it.
I thought we had one.
Oh, maybe we do.
Didn't we have a ticket for this? Maybe
Man,
we
I
didn't,
forgot about it. I don't
because there
know.
was one. Yeah, there was just one for Giannis to add it to the integration test. Yeah, so now we maybe we create one. Oh, I can do it. So,
Oh wait,
yeah,
no, is that it?
I can do it like that.
Oh man, I have like three more questions. Kurt, were you thinking you would do that as like a separate file though? Like there'd be like RS lifecycle and then like RS lifecycle Trove edition or broker
Yeah.
edition?
So the
Yeah.
main thing I'd be looking to do is, that big chunk of RS lifecycle that has all the parameterized tests that
Yeah, all
we
the scenarios.
I would want to find a way to generalize those parameters that they could be loaded in both the RS lifecycle test and then the RS Trove test or broker test or whatever, so.
Oh wow. Okay. That's probably okay. Interesting. But you would still have a separate, like you wouldn't put it into the same RS lifecycle
No,
file.
absolutely
Like you
not.
would,
And yeah, it
good.
would be as yeah.
Awesome. And so with the just jumping around, there was a mention of editing email addresses or like removing, disabling the editing of email addresses.
That's correct.
When I did the change to actually disable the fields on the edit form that are disabled in ModRS, one thing really leaps out at me when I look at it, which is that you can change the user ID, but you can't change the name.
Do you mean in here?
Yeah, I gotta pull out my phone from my pocket to look at your screen. But yeah, exactly. So if you change the requesting user and it's locked to having the same name and email, that might be a problem. But I definitely remember we wanted to be able to change the patron ID for some reason that I vaguely recall that coming up. So did the other fields get added later or something, or?
So yeah, so this because NSIP is turned off, the requesting user is almost useless for Trove. Like for NSIP, you plug in the requesting user ID and it does the patron validation and it pulls in the name and the email address, and that's not
Right.
editable at any point. But because Trove doesn't have NSIP, they are entering these manually, but Kurt just created or did the work to make it so that the first name, last name, and delivery email are pulled in during request creation. But Trove doesn't want the system email address to be editable. So that's what he's talking about. When you're creating a request, this isn't allowed to be changed.
Okay, so maybe we should have it check first of all, do those fields display when NSIP is on, or are they set up to hide them when NSIP is off?
They're hidden when NSIP is off.
Or on, rather, yeah.
So, or yeah,
Okay,
sorry.
and so maybe that we should also, when NSIP is off, we should make it so that the edit form disables editing for the requesting user as well. So that it looks sort of symmetrical, or I guess that doesn't really matter because they don't really care what the user ID is anyways.
Right. I'm surprised. Now that you say that, I'm surprised they haven't really like complained about this, but they haven't. So, but they just wanted to save the time of having to enter all of this manually.
Wait, I'm.
Sorry, did you ask a question? I'm sorry, and now I'm like not sure I answered anything.
No, but you gave me an answer for something else, the thing that I wasn't thinking about with the saving the time. Like that's the directory lookup, but that's something else, right? Yeah, no, I was just wondering like if maybe we should disable the requesting user field in the case that nzip is off. Because right now it's like you can edit the requesting user but not the.
Yeah, probably. Because I don't even know if they're using it. I'm like they're probably just putting in like garbage there.
Or in that case, then maybe it shouldn't be required. They shouldn't be required to put in garbage every time. So maybe we
Yeah.
could just disable it in general, just not use that field. If they're not using it, just don't use it. But that's only relevant for nzip. So we can disable that.
When nzip isn't on, like, just make that not required. Yeah.
Or not
Okay.
even editable. You just can't put anything there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I can create a ticket for that. You said you had a couple other questions. Is there anything else?
If I did, I forgot them. I'll ask on Slack. This has been long enough, I'm sure. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Okay, I think that we have a lot of fun stuff to work on.
Oh, I remembered it.
Yep.
It's the important one. So we have so Kurt is taking the figuring out how to get it to work without Kafka. Because the one place where it doesn't is something he's familiar with. That makes sense to me. And so I'm going to start looking into actually passing the address around on the patron request via 18626. But I'm curious, so the address currently is stored as this list of address lines. Do we need to retain any of the structure, or would it be sensible to just have it all as one string, like just the complete address, just glue the lines together with new lines. Like just output it as you would for just kind of render the address. And that way, it just needs a simple string field instead of to have like a JSON object or something.
Well,
Otherwise, in the pull slip, you're going to have to deal with a.
Yeah, I'm not sure because they did one of their requirements was to be able to do a shipping label. And in that case, I think the format would probably matter. We kind of put that in the backlog because we had bigger problems. So I don't know if it makes sense to like figure that out now because they might want it for that second phase, or if for like a simplification right now, just to get an address somewhere on the pull slip, you could just do it as a string.
Well, I think it's worth thinking about because we have to decide how we're going to store it anyway. So we'll have to go back and retrofit it, and it'll be a hassle and database migration or some nonsense. So I'd like to like when we decide what the like we need to decide what kind of field this address field that we're going to add into the patron requester and supplier, how we want it stored in the database. Is it plain text or is it a JSON blob, for example, that could have a representation of the address lines. And so it's sounding like maybe we do want to preserve the structure. And so maybe having it as a JSON blob would be more appropriate.
Would that like end up in here in this requesting institution space or something, or
Haven't got that far yet.
yeah.
But yeah, probably. And in fact, do we even currently display the address right now? as a requester and supplier, or do you basically have to click through to the directory, right? Yeah, view in directory.
Yeah, probably. I'm like, I don't remember what regular reshare is like these days.
It's going to be a whole project when we're trying to reconcile this code with those tenants. Hopefully, we
Let's
didn't
see.
break too much.
Yeah, view in directory to get the, although we don't have an address field in the current directory. Like some libraries have like a shipping code included in their
Well,
entries,
the
but
current
there's
directory
not like
definitely
a
has address. It you can somehow. It's in the database anyways. Maybe the local information. No? I'm pretty sure it's there. Because yeah, there's that whole thing with the address and the address lines.
I don't know, maybe it's just not displaying in Minitex. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the blind leading the blind. Oh, contact information, probably. But well, yeah, I don't know.
I just read Kurt's message about sneezing with the mic on. I didn't hear it. But anyway, okay. Jason, so do you think that it's possible to structure it? Like I just feel like that might be useful, but I'm not sure if they enter all of these consistently either, if that's going to be a problem.
So the thing is that in addition to structuring it in the database, we would also then have to find a way to structure it in the ISO 18626 message. So probably the first thing I have to do is see what I have to work with in terms of ISO 18626, how it's sending the address, because that's ultimately going to be what limits this anyways.
Sure.
Well, anyway, well, I'll be in touch. I'll
Okay.
do that first and let you know. But first I'll commit the other thing. Anyhow, let me just
Okay.
keep everybody. So yeah, fun times. See ya.
right. Thanks everyone. We will be moving on to other topics soon with pay for peer and Alma. So interoperability, but I think we have work today. So
All right,
thank
I
you.
have a just a quick request. Is Kurt still online?
Yep.
Kurt, would you mind dropping like a status update by the end of your day regarding this this local supply not working with Slavka?
Yeah, of course.
We may pick it up tomorrow morning if you don't manage to like get set up.
Sure. Yeah, I'll message you on Slack with it and let you know where I'm at.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thanks, all.
Thank you. Bye.